Blog Talk Radio.
Who's that lady?
Anna!
Stop, listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Stop, listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Who's that lady?
Anna!
The Rand McCoy! Stop, listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Stop, listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Who's that lady?
Anna!
The Rand McCoy! Come and listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Hurry, come and listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Hurry, come and listen, it's a Rand McCoy show.
Persuasive, she's passionate, and she's got one purpose, to help you live an incredible life. Anna McCoy is a life coach, financial educator, author, entrepreneur, and inspirational speaker. She'll give you the real answers to tough questions.
Ooh,
and now, your host, Anna.
The Real McCoy!
All right, everybody. Welcome to Woman Act Now Radio with Coach Anna McCoy. I want you to know that you're loved and appreciated today. I'm excited about our co-host and actually our guest today, Pam Ross, who is a WAN expert, really. And she's a member of Woman Act Now, but certainly regarded as a WAN expert in the area of leadership, team building, and various different things. Throughout this month, our topic is relational power. So I want to talk a little bit today and invite her to the show today to begin to talk a little bit about leadership and how we can begin to power up those relationships. If you're a leader in ministry or a leader in the workplace, we're going to have that conversation. So, Pam, are you on the line with us?
Yes, I am. Hello.
All right, then. This is what I'm talking about. So, Miss Pam, how are you doing today? Welcome to the show.
I'm excellent. Thank you so much.
Well, I'm excited that you are here and delighted, first of all, that you're a part of Woman Act Now. I think you're an incredible woman. You're a woman of excellence. You're a leader. You're a doer. I'm excited to be a part of your life, and I want you to know that. And I appreciate all that you have done to add to the Woman Act Now community. And I am so interested in your success. And so, you know, I want to make sure that when I ask you, would you step up to the plate, I know that you will.
Yeah,
because I'm more interested in the development of the women in the WAN community and Woman Act Now and really rising to take their place and be the expert. And I think that that's what you're going to help us with today on this area of leadership. So let's move forward. Now, I want to cover a couple of things because we only have we actually have an hour, but we were delayed a half an hour for today. But I know that for you, we want to make sure that we get all of your information. So before we get into our interview, Pam, and then actually throughout it or after it, I want you to share the information about how people can get in touch with you. Also, a little bit about what's going on in your life, and then we're going to dive into our subject matter.
Okay. How people can get in touch with me very, very easily. You can reach out to me via my website. It's Pam Ross, PAMROSS.net. And from there, they can subscribe to my blog, email me, even submit a prayer request to me. And that's usually the best and most direct way to connect with me.
Okay. All right. Well, that's excellent. So let's talk a little bit about, you have a new book out. Tell us about, what's the title of that book?
So excited about the book. It's titled Serving, Leading, and Loving. It's a survival guide for kingdom leaders.
Okay.
And the book is comprised of 10 basic principles and lessons that I've learned from serving in a mega church for over a decade.
Wow.
Yes, leading lots of teams of volunteers. And I believe that volunteer leadership is extreme leadership because you have to motivate people from the heart level.
Now, you know, before we go any further, I like that. I like the fact that you're acknowledging the difficulty, certainly, that individuals face,
mm-hmm.
but reframing that, actually. I think that's what I've heard when you talk about extreme leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I love those Pam Ross mentoring moments, and that was one of the things that certainly attracted me to your information is your ability to communicate and to be able to decipher this thought process. And so tell us a little bit about this extreme leadership with volunteers.
Extreme leadership, I use that phrase because it's almost like leadership without a safety net. You know, old school leadership consisted of what Daniel Pink refers to as sticks and carrots, where you have the carrot, if you do this, then you're going to get a raise or you're going to get a promotion. And if you don't, I'm going to dock your pay or I'm going to fire you. And but when you're serving and leading volunteers, you have to motivate people from a heart level. And and people need to know, first of all, that you care about them. And just like that, the beginning of the show when you said you are very interested in my success, that makes you irresistible, Coach. It makes you irresistible. And that's a key with leading volunteers is you have to be very interested in seeing their success and believe that they've got excellence inside of them. And if you can convince them that it's there, they're going to help you mine it, and they're going to help that thing come to pass and be manifested for the world to see. And so when I like to train people about, even in the workplace, if you were to treat your staff like they were volunteers and you give them a little bit of autonomy, you give them appreciation, because there's work everywhere, you know?
Yeah.
But if you were to treat those people like they're here because they believe in it, even if your company, I don't know, makes sandwiches, but still, if you're purpose-driven and you've got the purpose of your organization is clear, the dream of that leader is clear, the vision is clear, and if even if you decide we're going to make the world's best sandwiches and give people healthy food, if that language is coming out of the mouths of everybody there, then what you've got is you've got extreme leadership. You've got people showing up because they want to be at work, not just because they want to get paid.
Yes.
You know? And so you're motivating people because you believe in them. What they can offer to the organization is going to be good for you, but you've got to recognize that, you know what? It's also going to be good for them, because you're interested in what's happening on the inside of them as they're not just what's happening through them, but what's happening to them.
That's good. And so when we think about relationships and powering up these relationships, tell us a little bit about how your book really addresses that. You talk about these 10 subject matters, but I want to talk also about when we think about this leadership process of how to help people in this area of being a collective group of people or making, I love the way you put team building or being a part of a team or leading a team sport.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to talk about that a little bit today, because this is really about helping these women or those who are listening to us today to power up relationships and really take this position. And I believe that leadership is an important part of doing that. So talk to us a little bit about leadership as a team sport.
Leadership as a team sport really comes from the biblical principle. We find it in Ecclesiastes. Solomon, notably one of the wisest men in the world, says that when someone is trying to do something alone, you're just going to be miserable. He says two are better than one.
Yeah.
And so we encourage people all the time. We say that, you know, good leaders think how, but great leaders think who. The first thing you need to think about when you have a task or a dream or a goal is, who do I need to partner with? Because we recognize that there could be someone out there already doing it. There could be, we think about that they could pour into us, and who's out there that can help me, who's got information I need, who's got knowledge I need, who's going to be willing to partner with me, who would be interested in my success. The other thing they need to think about is, what skills I have, or the task that I have and the skills that I don't have. Don't ever shy away from completing a goal because you don't think you can do it. Most of what God gives us, we can't do. We can't do alone. We only have a piece of the puzzle. We probably have the vision and then a small skill or portion that we can do. And then as leaders, we've got to be secure enough to look for people that are better than us in various areas. And then together, we can get done what none of us could do alone. It makes the celebration sweeter. One of the things we talk about in the book is when you have other people with you, when you're connected in relationships, it improves your behavior.
You're absolutely right, because people definitely can hold you accountable. So tell us how it does that.
It improves your behavior. You know, I have two teenage daughters. Both of them are driving. And when they were taking driver's ed, whenever they were in the car with me, Coach,
yes,
I drove better. I obeyed the speed limit. I had my hands,
yes,
on 10 and 2 because I knew they were learning from me. That's positive leadership pressure.
Mm.
So if you're communicating in ethic, if you're communicating integrity, you're communicating even how we communicate our WAN covenant,
mm-hmm,
and then when you have other people around you, it's going to improve your behavior, what's coming out of your mouth, because you know people are learning from you. You're the example.
So you're making that right relationship, and really where we can be like-minded to principles,
yes,
and standards, make us be better people.
Absolutely. And you can communicate with the people that you're in relationship with, this is the woman I want to be. And then you give them permission to hold you accountable to be that woman.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so when you've got the right people around you, they help you it improves your behavior, causes you to be better. In addition to that, it helps you to celebrate better.
Mm-hmm.
When you accomplish something, you'll do more than just check off the box.
Yes.
You'll check off the box and have a little party. You got to congratulate others. They've got to congratulate you.
Yes.
Success is sweeter when it's a team success.
It sure is. You know, that reminds me of one of our young ladies, Toy Nichelle, who was a do-it girl a few months ago,
mm-hmm,
also is a young lady and young girl in her 20s, and she's been hanging around, you know, just hanging around that woman act now for the last couple of years,
mm-hmm,
and we've seen her grow so much, and we got a message from her today that she was accepted to one of the schools that, you know, turned down thousands of applicants, and she was one of the ones that was accepted. And all of the women just began to congratulate her and,
yes,
share with her how proud we are of her. And so I want to publicly say we're so proud of you, Toy, for your steadfastness. And that is a prime example,
mm-hmm,
of getting together in these relationships and connecting with the right people. And what I call, Pam, who can confirm your reality.
Yes.
That most of us, we set the standard for ourselves, but there is no one to confirm that reality. And oftentimes we think we can do it alone, but it's very difficult to do that. So we get into these relationships so that we can be held accountable and,
absolutely,
speak that same language. So we are,
mm-hmm,
really excited for Toy and what she's been able to accomplish. And she's really had to struggle. So thank you for that, Pam. I want to talk a little bit about what I call that relational currency. I talked about it on Monday on our 15 Minutes to Destiny
mm-hmm,
call, and talking about relational currency in leadership. And I'm pretty sure that, I mean, that's a kind of a side question, but our topic today is really relational currency in leadership and being able to pull these pieces together. And what I want you to think about here just for a moment, Pam, is what type of currency do leaders have? How would you identify some currency for a leader?
Well, you know what? I would say the very first one is character.
Mm.
Even before you've accomplished anything,
yes,
you've got to be the type of person that people want to follow.
Mm.
And you have to have an integrity. You have to have integrity to the point where others can rely upon you.
Mm-hmm.
And even at the risk of sounding boring, there's got to be some things about you that your people just know.
Mm.
That they have, there's some things that you're so consistent in some things that they know those things about you. If you're consistently on time,
mm-hmm,
then there's no question about, well, I don't know when she's going to show up, you know?
Yes.
And so I think the number one currency for being the type of leader that others want to follow is character. It's got to,
mm-hmm,
be a person that has high integrity, high moral standards, and high personal standards.
Yes. Those,
mm-hmm,
are good.
And then
let's think about that, because, you know, I do leadership training with sorry about that, of course. Please, everybody in the studio here, which is me, Pam, please mute your cell phones. Thank you very much. But anyway, when we think about leadership, I had an opportunity to share with a group of leaders here locally about these leadership principles and this leadership currency, relational currency. And one of the things that I did before I started the session, Pam, was to ask the question, where do leaders fail?
Mm.
And it was amazing because, you know, around the room, there were probably about 40 people there, and around the room, people started, you know, I gave them the pen and just I put all of these little sheets of paper, or, you know, along the walls, the 3M stickies along the wall where they can go to different ones and just write their thoughts about where do leaders fail? And I'm telling you, it was an amazing experience. And so that's what I look at when I think about those areas where leaders fail, for instance, in their character,
mm-hmm.
integrity, and all of those things came up. One of the things that was interesting to me was the one that says the trust factor.
Yeah.
That I tell my supervisor, I tell my leader something, and I don't trust that it's confidential.
Oh, wow, that's interesting.
And so when you think about relational currency in leadership, all of these characteristics are things that we have to use to transact. You know, when we think about why are we in leadership, Pam? What's the purpose of that? What is a leader? Who is a leader?
Mm-hmm. When I think of who is a leader, why we lead, I tell leaders your number one goal as a leader is to develop others.
Mm.
The first person, of course, you lead is you.
Yes.
But then if you're going to lead, if you're going to be a leader, you're developing others. And so it really doesn't matter to a great extent what arena. If someone is a leader, you should be able to take that leader off the football field, put them in the business world, and they're still able to develop and bring out the best in those around them.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you look at that, trust factor is huge. Do people feel like they're being used?
Yes.
You know, do they feel like you're interested in them as a person? A lot of times people fail to even reveal weaknesses, or when they're going through difficult seasons, they don't want to reveal that to their leader because they think that they can't show weaknesses around their leader, that it's going to be counted against them.
Wow.
And then it makes it very difficult to develop the people around you if you don't know where they're struggling.
Well, you know, I tell you, it's an interesting process. I'm trying to tweet some of your little stuff at the same time.
Oh, okay.
So that's what you might hear in some of my misspelled words on the tweeting people.
Okay.
I'm trying to do that at the same time while I'm having this conversation. It's kind of hard to do, people. But
it
anyway,
is.
Try to stay over here with Ms. Pam and share with the number one responsibility of leaders is the development of others,
mm-hmm.
the development of other people. And when we think about that, what I wanted to say before I got distracted based on the comment that you shared is really, when we think about this, how can we connect this for women, for the women of Woman Act Now, to mm-hmm. really understand? Because most people, when we talk about leadership, one of the things that I experience is that people automatically decide in their mind that that's not me.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? That
mm-hmm.
well, I'm not a supervisor. I've just come to work here. You know, it's like, how do you lead horizontally
mm-hmm.
And maximize your relationships with people,
mm-hmm.
not in vertical leadership?
Mm-hmm. You know what? Generally, if you are able to influence others in any way, you're leading. We're leading in our homes, we're leading in our jobs. The positional leadership, as we all know, is the lowest form of leadership.
Yes.
I tell folks all the time, your name tag, your title should really be a description of what you're already doing.
Yes.
And so you don't have to wait for somebody to come along and, you know, put a tag on you to say, okay, you're officially the leader in this department. In
yes.
fact, there's many arenas where the person that has the title really isn't the person that with the greatest influence.
Mm-hmm.
And so in order to have influence in your areas, the number one thing I advise leaders to do is, first of all, show people that you care and be willing to serve.
Mm-hmm.
What is it that's important to them? how can you add value to that?
And
so if there's people around you, if the person at the desk next to you is going through a difficult season and you show that person that you care because you genuinely do,
mm-hmm.
when that person comes out of that difficult season, you now have money in the bank.
Yes.
And you have
a
relationship.
Now we're talking the subject. That
mm-hmm.
relational currency.
Mm-hmm. Now
we're
talking about
making those deposits
mm-hmm.
and withdrawals.
Mm-hmm.
I like the fact that you say because you care, not because you have to, but because you
right.
genuinely care for a person. You authentically show who you are to other people.
Mm-hmm. And you
so
give them permission
to
be
one
themselves.
Of you were going, you were sharing, number one, leadership is influence.
Mm-hmm.
Two was show people you care.
Mm-hmm.
Three was willing to serve.
Yes.
Anything else?
Willing to serve in the something that's valuable to them.
Okay.
What is it? What's going on in their life right now that I can add value to you? What goals are you pursuing? What areas do you need comfort? Do you need encouragement, instruction? How can I help and add value to the people around me in my life?
Yes. And so, what's interesting about this too, Pam, is what reminds me to fulfill willingness to serve and be interested in people is I hold true to you matter to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the YMTM, that's how I embrace it, is that you matter to me, and it keeps me focused because, you know, one of the things that I do, I believe I matter to God. You
yes.
know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I wake up in the morning and I say, Anna McCoy matters to God.
Mm-hmm, that's good.
Do you hear me? So if I matter to God, and I was praying for the women of Woman Act Now this morning, and I was like, Lord, they matter to you.
Yes.
So we matter to you, and everybody does, but this is my assignment, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, Lord, let them know how much they matter to you.
Yes.
So I think as a part of being a leader, I think a couple of things, I'm in agreement that being willing to serve, being available, and also equipping other people to
mm-hmm.
do the same.
Yes.
I don't know how much deeper we have to go to think that being a leader is something different, but it's leadership to me is in relationships. It is relationships, you know.
It is.
That because if I had no one to lead, I would not have a relationship.
That's right.
You know,
absolutely.
It would not exist.
Absolutely.
I would be a person all alone trying to make my way. But because
mm-hmm.
people are in my life, the necessity, and this is going to take me right to your point that you have in the book about trying to do things on my own as a leader.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that as I invite other people into my life to help me to accomplish those goals, and I'm amazed at how many people sit on the sidelines just waiting for a chance to get in the game. Just
yeah.
waiting for the coach to say, I'm ready. You know,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're excited and you're on the sidelines and you say, just put me in. I'll deliver.
Yeah.
Sometimes we never choose to do that. And so I want to take that right to, let's get the picture in your mind, ladies, is you're sitting on that sideline and you've been waiting to help. And I've got a great team of women on our advisory board who are on, you know, they're waiting and ready. What do you want us to do, coach? How can we help you, coach? And coach is trying to figure out how to do it, and I called on one of our relationships on last night because guess what? I couldn't get it done, and so I was like, you're going to have to help me here. And she was just waiting on the sidelines. And one of the points you make in your book is talking about, from Ecclesiastes, which you just talked about earlier in the show, 4, 8, and 10, you talk about leaders doing things alone will lead to 4 dislikes. Tell us about those.
Those 4 dislikes, yeah, I love this. I love this scripture. And it says that if you're doing things on your own, it's going to feel like you have no end to your labor. It says if someone doesn't have a son or a partner, someone to help him, then you'll feel like there's no end to your labor. And if you've ever been working day and night, and you'll feel like, man, is this ever going to end? We think about we had a huge blizzard, a history-making blizzard in the Midwest, and I was out shoveling with my daughters, but we were shoveling together. So it didn't seem, but if I was out there by myself, you would feel like, this is, you know, is it ever going to end? And
right.
The Bible is very clear about saying you feel like it's a never-ending journey. Am I ever going to get to the end of it? The other thing is it says you're never satisfied with riches or success.
Mm.
If you're just chalking it up to be chalking it up, it's not you're not celebrating and sharing your successes with anyone. Your success isn't impacting other people's lives. How is your extra zeros on your bank account, is that improving the quality of someone else's life?
Mm.
And if those answers are no, you're never going to be satisfied. You're just going to want more. Winning just for the sake of winning isn't enough. We're not wired that way.
Yes.
We're really made to improve the world around us. Even, you know, how God told Adam, you're going to dress it, you're going to keep it. And so we're made to the dominion gene on the inside of us causes us to want to make things better around us.
Mm.
And so if our winning only makes us better,
mm-hmm.
only improves our life, and it's only our success, it's just simply not as sweet. The other one is you lose sight of purpose.
Mm.
And
tell us about that.
You lose sight of your purpose when you're just doing it by yourself. When you've got a vision in front of you and the work just goes on and on. Even with me writing this book, if I didn't have a team of people holding me accountable, I can't tell you how many times I told the Lord, Coach, I said, Lord, if I hadn't swam so far out and if there weren't so many people cheering me on, I would probably want to just float back to shore.
Now I'm in total agreement there because, you know, after every opportunity, you celebrate. I can't remember how many times I called Shauna in here just to listen.
Yes, absolutely. Or you do something great. You want to, you know, even if you bake your first cake, you want to take a picture of it.
or you crack your first coconut, and you know half of y'all don't know how to do that.
Come on.
I had to make y'all a video. Or if you install your own phone service, I had to make y'all a video of that. Y'all just hadn't seen them, but I made them, honey.
Yes, you want to share that. You want to share that with someone.
Yes.
So you continue to let people know what you're doing, why you're doing it. It keeps your purpose ever before you. But without that, when you do it alone, you really kind of lose sight of the purpose, and you ask yourself, why did I get in this in the first place?
So then our question to our listeners today is, are you trying to go it alone?
Mm-hmm.
Ruled out other people in your life.
Yeah.
Or a better question was, how much value have you placed on the relationships, the circles of influences that you're in to really add value to your life?
Mm-hmm.
That's really the question. We've got quite a few listeners who are listening to us today, Pam. I want to open up the calls. Well, before I do that, give us the fourth one. Ask you that once we start to have a conversation with those who are listening, because I'm thinking about a couple of people who are on the line with us today who I know are in leadership
mm-hmm.
positions who may have some questions for you. I know Margie Stewart, I think you're joining us, and as Pam was sharing some of these thoughts, I was thinking about you and the teams that you lead and how she may be helpful to you today. So if you have some comments that you want to share or just chime into the show, put your hand up, and I'll invite you into the show. But go ahead, Pam. Tell us about number four.
Number four is it becomes a painful effort and an unhappy business. And we know the Lord came to give us life, abundant life, it says in John 10:10. But, you know, even the most difficult times in your life, it will lighten the load if you have someone with you. It reduces the pain. And there are some things that we have to do that are boring, that are mundane, but if you can make a party out of anything.
That's true when you got some friends.
When you've got some friends and you've got some people that can help you. And I'm really at a season in my life where I cannot neglect the relationships that God's put in my life. And so I'm asking even listeners now to examine who's at the door, who's at the gates of your life that God has placed there waiting to help you, to speak into you, to give advice, to put their hand to the plow to help you out. But we haven't opened the door because we're so busy working it.
Yes.
That we don't recognize the relational currency that we've already deposited. And so we're figuratively driving by the bank every day when we could make a withdrawal.
Mm. And that goes right back to that visual that I want mm-hmm. you ladies to see. Every one of us have a team of people, and
mm-hmm.
we're playing in the game of life. We've got folks, you know, some people we play with, and we've got a big bench. Most of us, wouldn't you say we have a really big bench?
Yes, we do.
We don't know how to utilize the players in the right position.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to the gentleman, you know, who they did the movie The Blind Side.
Yeah.
Do you recall his name?
I do not recall his name,
but
I'm familiar with the film.
Yes, but I was thinking about him, and he was talking about how, well, actually it wasn't him. I was looking at another gentleman, which just makes the story even more powerful, is another gentleman, which Marcus Dupree.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was his name. He was a great football player back in the 80s. He was drafted. He was highly sought after doing college recruitment when they were buying players left and right. University of Texas wanted him, then ended up going to Oklahoma University, to the Sooners. And what was interesting in this, it was kind of like a documentary, The Best That Never Did or Never Made It or something.
Oh, okay.
It's awesome, and I can't remember which channel, and it's in rotation to play now. But just watching this young man, one of the things he said, he did not make it because of some choices, poor choices, people he listened to, relationships he developed that were not supportive or giving him the right advice along the way. But ultimately, at the end of this documentary, he said, I should have stayed there. Because every opportunity he had to run, he would choose to run rather than doing what was necessary when it came to those who led him.
Wow.
And it was a personal thing but they were really out to make him the best. I mean, he was an incredible running back. Could have been the world's all-time great running back. But he was unwilling to follow, unwilling to accept that leadership in his life. So I just wanted to share that with you. But look for it. His name is Marcus Dupree. You can Google it. Maybe you'll have an opportunity to look at that documentary because it's very, very powerful in how we choose different routes in our life when we know that greatness is in us. But somehow along the way, we end up losing the right relationships and making some very poor choices. So what I'd like to do is I want to take a short break, and I'm going to just play one of our power-up moments with Coach Anna McCoy. And when we come back from this break, Pam, if you can stay with us, I have Margie Stewart who is going to join us on this call, and I know she's got some comments or leadership questions for you. Are you okay?
I'm actually good for another 10 minutes. Is that okay?
Perfect, perfect.
Okay, wonderful.
Power Up with Coach Anna McCoy. Today's topic, manage opportunity.
Have you ever been given a project and you had that thought, why are they giving this to me? You should see that new assignment as an opportunity to shine. An opportunity is defined as a favorable combination of circumstances, time, and place. And when we manage every opportunity, regardless of its significance, it will provide a chance or an opening for something greater to occur in your life. So manage your opportunities well. The rewards will be worth it.
Power Up with Coach Anna McCoy.
Brought to you by the world's largest DoubleTree Resort, Spa, and Hotel on International Drive in Orlando. Plan a conference or bring your family to relax and enjoy a place where you are celebrated and accommodated. African-American owned, DoubleTree Resort and Spa, International Drive, Orlando, Florida. Visit DoubleTreeOrlandoIDrive.com. Call 407-352-1100.
All right, welcome back to the show. This is Coach Anna McCoy. We have our guest with us, Pam Moroff, who is, number one, first of all, we consider her a WAN expert in the area of leadership, team building. In addition to that, she is also an author. You can contact her at pammoroff.net to get in touch with her. We want to encourage you to subscribe to her blog. She has over 1,000 people who are currently subscribe to our weekly blog on leadership, and you can sign up at pamroth.net. Also, follow her on Twitter at Pam Ross, and I love this. Her Facebook is Pam's Face. Pam's Face. You got me? Anna's Face. I'm ready to go start me and Anna's Face. Welcome back to the show, Pam, and I want to welcome Margie Stewart to the show. Are you there, Margie?
Yes, I am.
All right, Miss Margie. You have any comments or questions for our expert today, Miss Pam Ross?
Yes, I do. Pam, good evening. I definitely want to thank you for sharing with us all this wealth of information as far as we building our relationship and our building, powering up as a relationship. And I was just looking back over the characteristics of the leaders that you, when you are listed those, one is to influence others, the other one is to show people you care and be willing to serve serve them what value to them because mm-hmm. that you care. Pam, when you feel like you as a leader is sharing with that person that you care, but you're always giving, and they're always taking, mm-hmm. taking, when do you, I know that's one of the points of as we honor the women, we honor them with our time, our presence, and our attitude, and then there's a part where we retreat. When mm-hmm. do you retreat? When do you discard from let go?
You know, it's interesting. There's a parable in the Bible that talks about the owner of a vineyard, and he comes and he asks the person that's responsible for keeping the vineyard. He looks at this particular tree, and he says, you know, how long are we going to let this tree stay here? It's just taking up space, blocking the sun, and it's not producing anything. Mm. And the owner, the caretaker says, well, you know, give me a year and let me dig around it. And let me put some manure on it. And there's a whole other chapter about maturing through the manure. But he says, let me see what I can get it to do. And then he says, give me a year to do that. And so I'm not exactly saying that if you're working with someone, you're in relationship with someone in a year, and so a year is it. But I am saying that if you put forth the effort, it really has to do with an individual basis. What is the problem? What's blocking it? Is it that they don't want to receive wisdom? Is it that this person is just not respecting your boundaries, you know, that they're continuously taking from you when you don't want to give and you find yourself pouring in when you don't want to pour in? Are they draining your energy? Are they toxic for you? You know, look at the reasons why you want to retreat. And it's really a case-by-case basis. But I will encourage people to do this because one of the reasons why we hesitate to mentor and pour into and lead others is because we are afraid that there's no return on our investment.
Mm-hmm.
And whatsoever you sow, that shall you also reap. And so if you sow into someone and don't see any investment, you would be amazed that God will bring someone else into your life. And that person is bringing to you what you've poured into someone else. You can sow in one area and reap in another. So, you know, never hesitate to give someone an opportunity if they seem to be sincere and they want to be connected to you for the right reasons, and make every attempt to build relationship with them. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out, but never feel that you've wasted your time as a leader because you haven't. You'll walk away with some wisdom, some lessons learned, and I can guarantee you that whatsoever you sow, you're going to reap it.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you, Margie, for joining us, and I want to wrap up with Ms. Pam so that we can release her. And I want you to say, for those who are listening, to continue to listen to this broadcast, I'm going to talk about, when we finish, I'm going to talk about this trust relationship model of building the relationship so that you can really begin to transact that relational currency in your relationship. So, Pam, share with us again, how do we purchase Serving, Leading, and Loving?
You can purchase Serving, Leading, and Loving, and you can read an amazing endorsement from my very own coach, Anna McCoy, by visiting me online at pamross.net. You can place your order there. The book is also available on Amazon and through some other online vehicles. And we are so excited about it. But check us out at pamross.net. You can watch some coaching reels, sign up for the blog. There's links to Twitter and Facebook from there. And then, of course, you can order our number one resource, which is our book, Serving, Leading, and Loving. Coach, thank you so much.
Well, you are so very welcome, and I want to just thank you and let you know you are loved and appreciated, and I want to encourage each of us to go. I'm going to order my – I think I ordered my book, didn't I?
I don't know, but you got some coming your way.
Oh, no, I paid for my book, honey. I already ordered that book immediately. Since
praise
I got the website
God.
Information about the book. Look, I did it so quick. I couldn't even remember I did.
Oh, that's wonderful.
But
you
so
know, I'm sitting in my office with my inventory
box.
Just arrived.
Because
thrilled.
I have paid for my book, and I want to make sure that well, if you already sent me, you probably signed it, but I want it to be supported. I want to seed into your dream, into your vision, and also that this is a completed project. I mean,
yes.
2 years ago, I'm sitting on the – was it 2 years ago I'm on the airplane?
I think it was it two. It might have been one and a half. It was in May.
I came down in
May
for,
in 2009.
Indiana. Where are you at? In Illinois somewhere? Somewhere.
I'm in Indiana, right on the border of Illinois.
Yeah,
Indiana.
On the border. I don't know when that was. I thought it was maybe 2 years ago.
Yeah, it was May of 2009.
Yes, and so I recall very clearly riding on that plane, looking at that book proposal and thinking about. So I am so very proud of you for completing this, and I wanted to seed into you for that completion. So I'll just, when the book comes, I'll seed it into someone else to
Thank
be a
you.
Blessing to them if you're sending me a complimentary copy. But I want you to let you know I believe in you, and your success matters to me. So, oh, I'm so irresistible.
It makes you irresistible.
I love you,
Thanks.
Pam, and you
I
have
love
a great
you
day.
Too. I love my WAN sisters. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, for those who are continuing with us, and Margie, I know you're still there. I want to just encourage you to stay with us, and thank you for sharing with us. I'm going to continue this show, just a few minutes of what we have left here, the next 18 minutes. I want to talk a little bit about the trust relationship, you know, and building trust. Oftentimes, and, you know, I love the whole idea of being able to practice what we do in business. I'm trying to figure out this thing, okay, ladies, and you can help me. I'm trying to figure out why is it that we can be so successful in the business of life. And I believe that the business, well, when I say business of life, but in business, that we can be so successful in working in these systems, but yet it does not translate to us that these same principles can be effective in our personal lives. So you know that we have a training and development company. We're always doing leadership development, team building, and we're constantly trying to help people understand people and help them to build these relational models of currency. And I'm just so grateful for Pam being with us and sharing some of the thoughts that she has on leadership. Well, one of the things that I want to share with you is what I call the trust relationship, relational model, and that is where we start to build. There are steps that begin to build the relational trust factor. And so I want you to just think about it. The first thing is that when we meet people, we try to find something in common with each other, just something very basic. You know what, girl? It's a pleasure to meet you. You have on a nice blouse. We're just trying to find something. I like what you like. So are you following me? And Margie, actually, you're still live on the line, so you can enter. You can play co-host for the rest of the show since Ms. Shauna is vacating and celebrating her fifth anniversary, and we celebrate her and her husband for that. So when we think about this whole meeting experience, Margie, now you're a co-host, okay, Margie?
Okay.
All right, then. You know what you got to do, right, Margie?
Okay.
All right. So, Margie, when I ask the question, you got to chime in. So, Margie Stewart, she is our financial WAN expert. She's stepping in for our co-host, Ms. Shauna Stallworth, today. So, these last few minutes, Margie, you and I, we're going to kind of go back and forth, and I want you to just give me your thoughts, because what I want to do is build a model for you of building trust in the relationship, because it is when we get to that place of trust that everything changes. So just hold that thought out there for a second, okay?
Okay.
Just hold the thought. Everybody who's listening to me, I want you to hold that thought. You don't go into relationships trusting. We can agree. Can you agree with that, Margie?
Right.
You may go into a relationship thinking you are an open person and you are willing to give people a chance, but oftentimes there's a process of building trust. So when we first meet people, and just think about those people you meet, Margie, when we meet people, we just exchange basic information, whether it's about the weather. What might you say to someone just to break what we call breaking the ice?
One thing I could just, I meet so many, just tell them, you know, I love your smile. Or, you know, it's a, if they have children with them, it's, I usually comment on something about the child, or that's such a cute little baby, a cute little girl, or mm-hmm. I let them know that, hey, I have a granddaughter just like her, or
so,
something
see
like that.
What we're doing now.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We're trying to, now there's something going to happen here. There's just an exchange of basic information. So you don't have to be a rocket scientist. You don't have to be in relationship with people to actually start to have these exchanges. Just like Margie shared with us, hey, you're really cute, you got a cute baby, I got grandbabies. We're just trying to find that place where we can begin to balance a little bit and see, will we take this to another level? The next level of that relationship, Margie, and you might think of this as well, is the exchange of basic ideas. Now, let me just share with you, when I think about this process of basic ideas, you have to understand something. You need, oftentimes, we need courage to introduce people to our ideas. You will often hear me say, let your ideas live. But the first thing, you got to find some common ground. So I want you to think about your relationships that you're in. What's that common ground as you're starting to build those relationships, starting to set the standards of how you are going to relate with people? That first one is we're trying to find, we want to get on the same balance board, see if there's anything in common here. The next one is you might start to share just some basic ideas. Margie, when you think about the example that you've just given, what would be an idea that you might share with a person if you move them from just get that vision of meeting a person or get something in your mind where you kind of went through the first phase, now you're moving into the second phase where you think, hey, I got an idea for you. And we get there pretty fast. You know how fast I can get there, right?
Right.
But I'm giving you a piece of my mind, a piece of my treasure. So how might you do that?
One thing is letting them know that I'm interested in and just say, just or if I meet a person that has a little girl, ask them, where do they go to school? You know, one of the things is, and just share with some idea of I'm at a loss right now.
Yeah, well, you might think of a tool. Maybe it's a book or maybe it's a program.
Right.
You see that? You might say, once you ask that question, you know, what are you interested in? And the person says, well, my grandson is in Little League football. You're like, oh, that's great. Have you heard of Coach So-and-so?
Mm. Okay.
You see how the relationship is starting to change, starting to build. And this is simplified. But
right. Even
in business, when we're in a business, you know, you go into a meeting and you meet people for the first time. There's a little bit of banter going on. Everybody is got this kind of position in the meeting because we don't know where we fit. And so
right. We
begin to share that information, and then you'll start to gravitate towards people that you find more commonality with. Then you
right. Might
start to say, okay, this is how we build teams, is now we're going to exchange our basic ideas. Let's just put some things out. I want you to think about, too, Margie, because you were at the See the Dream weekend, and some
mm-hmm.
of us had met each other before, some of us hadn't. And so when you arrive, you know, you might have had a conversation with someone, and you're just kind of exchanging that basic information. Oh, where'd you fly in from? Oh, did you have a nice flight? Oh, it's so good to meet you. Yeah, I talked to you online a few times. Basic
mm-hmm.
information.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the sharing of ideas that start to happen. I am so happy to be here. I'm just excited about what can happen here, you know, and see how we're starting to build that relationship, because you can walk with me perceptively and be able to kind of see how the weekend flowed, when you arrived, what happened, and moving it through the process from, you know, going into your rooms and making the connection and how
okay.
you began to develop the relationship. I want you to think about this in a way as we continue to move. The next one is the exchange of feelings. You know what? I feel so happy to be here. I feel so blessed. Are you recalling the words?
Right. Mm-hmm.
With people that we hadn't necessarily bonded with, but this is that process of building trust and building relationship. You know, what did you think when you got the announcement or you got the invitation, you know? Oh, my gosh, now the feelings are starting to come out. And you
That's
can
right.
go back and really begin to see it. But by the third day, some other things are going to start to happen.
Right.
Because we're starting to develop what? This relationship. And then, ultimately, these three things, the sharing of basic information, the sharing of basic ideas, that I'll give you a piece of my thoughts, a piece of my mind. When you get into my feelings, I've opened the window to tell you how I feel, or this makes me feel this way, or this is so special. When you start to think about those types of experiences, then guess what? You're starting to enter into a place of trust. Would you agree, Margie, that by the end of the evening there was a bonding that had occurred and that we all kind of trusted each other?
That is so true. That is so true. One of the WAN sister that we all had gone to the Vertical Leap, but however, I didn't really build that relationship. But however, when we were just saying, girl, this is just an honor. It was an honor for it to be called on to come out here. I don't even know why. And, you know, just sharing those information. Then you just say, well, girl, and you know, just then we started talking about life in itself. Then from there, it started getting even more intimate about some of the expertise that I'm doing, which is in finances, and just sharing. One thing is that just listening to them share about the situation that they're in right now, and then after listening, they're just giving some basic information. But from that is building a big trust within the individual that I did not have before.
Yes, and so when you think about that and you take that to your own specific situation in your life, you know, we have to become much more conscious to what's going on in our atmosphere,
mm-hmm.
what's actually happening. Not that we're trying to create this. These are natural progresses if you're open to them. And you just said this because, you know, then we started talking about life.
Right.
Oh, you did, because once you build that place of trust, see, trust has to be violated. Remember I said we don't walk into it with this idea of trust, but we don't walk into the relationship with an idea of distrust. Maybe some of us have some issues there, but for the most part, just in general, you know, you might be cautious or you might be whatever it is, but there's a natural progression of building a relationship, the trust relationship model. Now, so what we have defined is now we have started to build this trust. So we're now encapsulated in trust. All of us had, you know, we began to bond, and even as I believe it was Ra, she was the last person to get here. But as soon as she got here, what happened? Every single person, this is how it happened. It was so amazing because I had taken Ra's from one room because she was a little bit late, and I wanted to make sure I got pictures of her, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I actually separated her from the group, but each person was like, just if they had to walk through the room, they just want to come and say hello to her, just come and say, I'm so glad you're here. Just come and make some kind of connection. So
right.
by the time we got together, again, she was now in this group. We were encapsulated in trust. When you're encapsulated in trust in the relationship, what happens next is not remarkable. It just is. The next part of this model is open communication. Wow. It's not something we got to figure out, you know. It just started to occur. So what happened after that, after being encapsulated in trust? Remember we all sat down and we began to talk. We ended up gathering in the living room.
Right.
You guys, I had a whole other image of what I was going to have happen, but
mm-hmm.
you guys ended up sitting on the step like 10 little girls just sitting there.
Yes.
You know, and so what happened then? Then all of a sudden there was open communication.
Mm-hmm.
That there was no, you remember we talked about there was no struggle for power?
Right. That's
but now
right.
we're just going to openly communicate. Why? Because this is a safe place.
Mm.
So in your personal relationships, have you created a safe place for open communication? Because in order for some of the other things, the ultimate aim at this trust relationship model is not dependence, is not independence, it is interdependence. That now, ultimately, as we go through this process, that's our goal, is that we want to be interdependent upon each other. That I don't have one up on you, you don't have one up on me, but that we can be in an interdependent giving and taking, loving, giving relationship.
That's
and I
great.
Believe by the time we got to the end of this, that was certainly the case with the See the Dream weekend. So when we have this open commitment, there was something else that started to happen. I want you to go right over to the next day when we went over to our international training headquarters for Woman Act Now, and we all got there. Something else began to happen. And in that space is what we call the next step is commitment to relationship. There can only be a commitment when I can feel like there's an open opportunity for me to communicate and have this relationship with you. How does that feel for you, Margie?
That is great.
And then so think about us sitting in that room. When you become a part of this, a part of building this process, and everybody started to put in there and communicate their thoughts and ideas, and I did it through flap doodling and through our epicenters of writing on the board and allowing that time for you to go from one to the next, but allowing you to what? Communicate about what your thoughts were, and then we all talked about it. But what happened out of that was not only ideas, but now there is a commitment to the relationship, not only with each other, not only to Coach Anna, but there was a commitment to the relationship with Woman Act Now as an organization. Did you feel that?
Yes, indeed.
Because then you start to own it, wouldn't you agree?
Right.
So the next part of that becomes once we commit to the relationship, there's the part of commitment that you want to become a part of that relationship. You want to become to engage. So the best way to give is to become dependent. You know, is that you cause others really to, you know, I talk about defense and offense, where the way, if you're on defense in a relationship, the way to get on offense is to give unto dependence. That means that you start to now give because you want to have that experience of being needed in the relationship. So you offer up, and the way it comes is that, what can I help you do? Would you like me to do this? I'm available to you. I'm accessible, whatever the case may be, because I want to be depended on. Not in a negative way of dependence, you know, where I'm going to suck you dry. We want to be depended on because we want to be a part of this. And then there's the part of independence and being able to add and contribute to that environment as a unique person. We still want that too. We still want that too. And ultimately, by being able to have all of these things, we will achieve our goal of interdependence in this trust relational model, which is necessary to really transact the relational currency to have powerful relationships in our lives. So what's your last thoughts, and we're going to wrap up, Ms. Margie, and I want to thank you for being my step-in co-host today.
Well, Coach, I definitely want to thank you for this. I think more if we start practicing what the characters and a lot of the points that you have given us as becoming having that powerful relationship, I think we can be a much, much better person, and it also it becomes contagious in another person. You know, it'll start another person. They may come to you and say, girl, I want what you got. I want what
yeah.
you got. But if we can just take this and we just be so intentionally about implementing, making sure that we are genuine, making sure that we build that trust with one another, letting them know that we're not here to take anything from you. As a matter of fact, I'm here to give you. I'm here to serve you. And they know that you're genuine about that, and they also know that they can trust you. Then as we taking this in, just like we did see the dream, as all of us came together and everybody was giving their own idea. But then out of that idea, they came out power, that word power. And from that, it just, you know, like even maybe one person may have said power, but we all owned it. We all own that, and then we just become a much, much better person, knowing who we are and the source that we have on the inside of us.
Wow. Thank you so much, Margie, and thank you for joining us. For those who are watching as well as those who are listening via the Blog Talk Radio stream, as well as calling in from your telephones. We want to thank you for joining us at Woman Act Now. We want to hear from you. You can visit us at womanactnow.com. You can follow us on Twitter as well as Facebook. You can follow Woman Act Now at Twitter or Coach Anna, same for Facebook, and so that you can stay up to date. I want to encourage you to follow us on our Power Up blog. We have Power Up words that are continually coming to power you up, and consider joining us for WAN prayer, our Power Up prayer. They're good too, and I got one good one coming to you next week. So we are delighted you joined us. We'll talk to you real soon. Have a blessed and prosperous day. And if you don't have Woman Act Now, learn, launch, and live your dream, you want to get it. You can get it from Amazon.com or anywhere books are sold. We'll talk to you soon. Be blessed. Coach Anna.
Power Up with Coach Anna McCoy. Today's topic, mission critical.
Are you currently at the place where fulfilling your mission is at the critical stage? Mission critical is that time when you have no options left and your goal cannot be abandoned and must be accomplished. Should you choose to continue the journey you're on, will you solve or invite a crisis into your life? You decide. Ask yourself, what will happen if your destiny becomes mission impossible because you have not made it mission critical? I'm Coach Anna McCoy.
Power Up with Coach Anna McCoy.
Brought to you by the world's largest DoubleTree Resort, Spa, and Hotel on International Drive in Orlando. Plan a conference or bring your family to relax and enjoy a place where you are celebrated and accommodated. African American owned, DoubleTree Resort and Spa, International Drive, Orlando, Florida. Visit DoubleTreeOrlandoIDrive.com. Call 407-352-1100.